We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the PACKADAY podcast.
What is up, everybody? Andy Herman here with an immediate reaction video to Green Bay's two selections in the second round. Javon Bullard at safety, Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker. How can you not be romantic about football? I know maybe a little bit of frustration, angst, underwhelming feeling from the first round, going obviously with Jordan Morgan at offensive tackle, guard, whatever he ends up being. Right now he's listed as a tackle. This is what Green Bay does. I talked about this yesterday. They're taking the home run swing in the first round, and then they attack needs aggressively with guys that are going to be able to come in and play right away and fill some of those spots in day two. And they did that in an aggressive way, in a beautiful way, and getting two big-time players who should, theoretically, be able to start at linebacker across from Quay Walker and at safety across, obviously, from Xavier McKinney. These are two perfect fits. I think the really interesting thing about Gutekunst so far is he told us exactly what he was going to do in three very different interview answers. I asked him specifically about offensive tackles. What about these big guys, these Guyton's and the Mims and so on and so forth, Latham? And he said, yes, tall, big, fast, all great, but we like versatile guys. And we like guys that can move around and can play maybe guard and tackle and left side, right side. Who does that remind you of? Jordan Morgan. He basically told us, and I kid you not, I swear to you, as soon as he answered that question in my mind, I'm like, he's explaining Jordan Morgan. When he talked to us, or when he talked to the media, I should say, at the NFL meetings, he was asked about linebacker. And he was asked, do you want a strong side linebacker, a Mike? Do you want a weak side linebacker? He's like, no, no, no. And I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, but you have two nickel linebackers and you have to be able to do everything. We don't want somebody that's going to be a run defender. We don't want somebody that's going to be a pass defender. We need somebody who can do everything. They're not looking for a compliment to Quay. They're looking for another Quay. And that's exactly what they got in Edgerrin Cooper. There are flaws in his game. He's going to struggle sometimes like Quay with taking on blocks and that level of hardcore physicality that if you're looking for somebody like a Frankie Louvu who's just going to, you know, punch a guard in the face when he's pulling. I'm not being serious, obviously, but if you're looking for that type of intensity and physicality, you're not going to get that out of Cooper, but you get an instinctual linebacker who can fly sideline to sideline, who can make all the reads, all the plays. I talked about this on the live chat. There's a play that he makes in a screen where he, you know, completely reads it, makes two offensive linemen miss and does a shoestring tackle on the running back. His game against Alabama is unbelievable. I think he had three sacks in that game. He played really well against tough competition. And you go out and you get that guy who can do a little bit of everything. They didn't ask him to cover a lot. at Texas A&M, but he looked very comfortable in his drops. He did a great job of keeping his eyes on quarterbacks and getting in those passing lanes. He's going to start right away next to Quay Walker. And again, Goody told us exactly what he was looking for. At safety, he was asked about it in a press conference this week. He was asked, like, what are you looking for in safety? I think he was actually maybe talking about Cooper DeJean a little bit too in this sort of description. But he said, we're not looking for somebody who is going to be a box safety. We're not looking for somebody who's just going to be a two-high safety or a post safety. They wanted somebody who could do everything. And he even included playing in the slot in that discussion. And immediately, once again, I'm like, that's Javon Bullard. They're not looking for a Jaden Hicks because Jaden Hicks can't play in the slot. They're not looking for a Cole Bishop because Cole Bishop can't play in the slot. They're looking for Javon Bullard. And when he's available at the end of round two, my predictions were Marshawn Nealand and Javon Bullard for day two. Obviously, Nealand goes a little bit later. Edgerrin Cooper was somebody that we've talked about on numerous occasions as a Packers type all day, every day. He was on my short list today. Both Javon Bullard and Jordan Morgan and Edgerrin Cooper, all three were in my top 25 players that were most likely to be Green Bay Packers in this draft. These are Packers-E type selections all day, every day. And with Javon Bullard, you are getting what Kirby Smart called, I think, a stick of dynamite. He is very similarly proportioned to Darnell Savage, height, weight, speed, all of it. His 4.4 40 speed pops off the tape. He is going to be somebody that can play in the slot. He's going to be somebody that can play in the box. He's going to be somebody that can play two high safety. He's going to be somebody that can play some post safety. One of the things that surprised me most was that his vertical testing and stuff didn't test through the roof. You see him multiple times on tape jump through the roof and go and high point the ball and pick off some passes. He is a playmaker. There is some a little volatility to his game, not all that dissimilar to Darnell Savage, but I think this is a more consistent player than what you had in Darnell Savage, and I think he is going to be fired up and motivated, and this is exactly why you have somebody like Xavier McKinney. Just like I talked about with Jaden Hicks when we talked about potential prospects to sort of come in and play with McKinney, McKinney is going to unlock all of those juicy skills that Javon Bullard possesses and is going to allow Javon Bullard to do what he does best. But not only that, you get that versatility, right? And Brian Gutekunst has talked about this week of like, hey, it's great that we have a Xavier McKinney. And again, I'm paraphrasing here very specifically, but it's great that you have a Xavier McKinney that can play that post safety. And if you want to get like a box safety or if you're going to play Javon Bullard in the box, that's great, but you're predictable then. You don't want a quarterback going to the line of scrimmage, especially the really good ones, and saying, all right, I know that you're lining up both close to the line of scrimmage, but I know 90% of the time, Xavier McKinney's the one that's going to be the post and Javon Bullard's going to be the guy, or if they would have taken somebody else, it's a pure box safety, that he's going to be the guy that's going to be in the box. I don't want, like, as a quarterback, as a defensive coordinator, you don't want that quarterback to know, all right, they're going to use that guy in the post every single time. You want him, like, imagine this on a play action play, right? Play action fake, you go and you read the defense ahead of time and you're thinking McKinney's going to be in the post and Bullard's going to be in the box. And you go back, you fake the handoff and you turn around and you get it. And all of a sudden Bullard's at the deep post and McKinney's screaming off it as a box safety or wherever you're not expecting him to be. That changes what your expectations are. And if you do enough of that, now the quarterback's not going to maybe get those preconceived notions. And he's going to say like, all right, I don't know what's going to happen. And now he's going to have to reread post snap or post play action fake of what's going on with the defense. You never want to be predictable. And having a guy like Javon Bullard allows you to be more unpredictable. Not to mention that, but what if you want to bring Keyshawn Nixon more off the slot as a blitzer, right? We saw him have some success as a blitzer off the slot. If you want to do that, you need somebody that can come down from the safety and cover that wide receiver that he is abandoning to go blitz the quarterback. Having somebody like a Javon Bullard to be able to come and do that and play a little bit on that wide receiver, I'm not saying you want to make a habit of playing Javon Bullard one-on-one with slot twitchy wide receivers. It's going to catch up with you at some point, but can he do it enough where you can do some of that stuff where you're bringing a Keyshawn Nixon off the edge? Absolutely. Does he give you the versatility where, hey, maybe if on day two, you know, in the third round here or day three of the draft, they find another safety that can also play alongside Xavier McKinney, does he give you some opportunity to maybe play a little bit more in the slot too, especially on some early downs? Yeah, he can do that as well. the versatility of Javon, the versatility is the name of the game, right? We talked about it at defensive back. We talked about it on the offensive line. Bullard gives you that versatility at safety. Obviously, Jordan Morgan gives you it at along the offensive line. Edgerrin Cooper, we're not talking about versatility of like they're going to be two off-ball linebackers, but it gives you the opportunity to use Quay and Edgerrin Cooper interchangeably. You want to spy one of them and blitz the other, you can do that. You want to drop both in coverage, you can do that. You want to blitz both in a double A-gap blitz, you can do that. And by the way, the two things that jump off the page with Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard, speed and explosiveness. With Javon Bullard, the number one thing I had in my scouting report, again, prior to the draft, when I watched him, was the 4.440 speed jumps off the tape. And with Edgerrin Cooper, one of the things that popped off was his explosive ability. All the sacks that he garnered. What's really impressive is we talk all the time with edge rushers of you have to have that explosive ability, that closing ability to get to the quarterback. He has it. He has it. If you get him on a blitz and he all of a sudden has the opportunity to get that quarterback, he has that closing speed to get to that quarterback and get him to the ground, evidenced by the 8 sacks he had from a season ago. These are two big-time draft picks. And you talk about what this defense has done in the offseason. And let's wait and see before we crown any more defenses in Green Bay. They need to put it on the field on Sundays and Mondays and Thursdays and I guess Fridays if you're playing in Brazil. We need to see this defense in action. But adding Jeff Hafley as your defensive coordinator, Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard at safety, and Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker, that is going to pay massive dividends. They still need to get pressure up front. Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, LVN, they're going to need to do their job on the edge. Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, TJ Slayton, Carl Brooks, and Colby Wooden, they're going to have to do their job on the interior. Quay needs to take a little bit of a jump. You have Jair that needs to get back to playing like Jair. Nixon's going to need to live up to that contract, and you need one of Eric Stokes or Carrington Valentine to really step up and own that position at outside corner opposite Jair. But you're going from a safety group that was Darnell Savage, Anthony Johnson Jr., Rudy Ford, and Jonathan Owens to one that is now Xavier McKinney and Javon Bullard. The upgrade there is not measurable in any form of human existence that is known to man. It is too wide of a gap to be able to be measured. And at linebacker, getting someone that is going to be able to come in for a Devondre Campbell, who, let's just be real, lost a step to a step and a half over the last couple years and wasn't that explosive guy anymore. Edgerrin Cooper, filled with first step explosiveness, speed, intensity, all of it. And we look at some of the best defenses in the NFL right now, and what do they have? Those two linebackers that are flying all around the football field and dominating the middle of the field. Add on the fact that you're going to play more of a box safety, and that those two linebackers, Quay and Cooper, are now going to be teamed with either a Xavier McKinney or a Javon Bullard in the box. Your possibilities are endless. It's going to be tough for offenses to diagnose what they want to do. And these guys are going to be flying around to the football in every way imaginable. This is a home run day two of the draft. I know there's some disappointing, and obviously I don't know the third round yet. We'll get there later, but I should say a home run round two of the draft. I know some people upset about Cooper DeJean. I'll say it again. I do not think, even if DeJean was on the board, that they were going to take him there. Now, maybe they were because they traded down right after the DeJean pick gets made. So maybe they were going to, but getting Bullard, if they were going to take DeJean, maybe they lose out on Edgerrin Cooper then, and maybe they have to take a different linebacker. I'll just say it personally. If the option was getting DeJean in with their first, second round pick, and then not being able to trade down and pick up those extra picks, and then missing out on Edgerrin Cooper on the other and having to go with a different linebacker, sign me up for this alternate reality. Give me the one that gets me Edgerrin Cooper, Javon Bullard, and a future fifth and sixth round draft pick in this draft as well, rather than the one that gets me DeJean and a linebacker that's not named Edgerrin Cooper. So I don't know that they would have taken Cooper anyway, even if they would have. And the off chance that you don't get Edgerrin Cooper on that other spot, I like this reality just perfectly and have no issues with them losing Cooper DeJean early in the draft, even if that was going to be the case, which I still sort of believe they may not have taken him at that spot. Ultra excited about the pick. Ultra excited about what has happened and transpired so far on round two. Excited for round three. We're going to get two more Packers picks, assuming they don't trade out. I will be back here to break down and give my immediate gut reaction as soon as those picks are done. And then, of course, we'll have a full deep dive breakdown, well, a breakdown of day two for tomorrow. And of course, through the rest of this week, we will do deep dive reports on every single one of these picks that you are not going to want to miss. If you're not subscribed yet, subscribe. If you haven't checked out Pack-A-Day podcast memberships yet, make sure to do so. I'm going to go jump back on the live stream, get back with Maggie Loney and Andrew Mertig, who are killing it, I'm sure, in my absence. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into an all-new emergency episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. My gut reactions to the Packers' third-round picks, both Marshawn Lloyd and, of course, Tyron Hopper. Let's start right away with Marshawn Lloyd. Green Bay gets their change of pace running back, somebody that is, you know, 5'8", 220 pounds, is thick, is built well. When I watched him on tape, this looked like somebody who I actually felt could potentially be down the line a, you know, number one running back. It's a little bit on maybe the iffy side. He hasn't had that experience in college, but I do think he has the build. I go back and I don't like necessarily talking about this running back quite a bit for some of the off-field reasons. When I first watched Ray Rice and watching him, and I kind of actually want to look up as I'm talking here of what his exact size was. But when I always watched Ray Rice, I always thought it's a little bit of a cheat code. If you can have three things sort of all together all at once, and that is a little bit of a shorter stature, which we know Ray Rice had, but also a really thick build, which we, you know, Ray Rice also had, but also incredible speed. And the reason that I say that is you have this really compact build and you have a low center of gravity. A lot of times, you know, with that speed too, you're agile enough. Players bounce off you because you have that thick build. You're a compact build is what I kind of define it as. And I've always thought that that's a little bit of like a cheat code at the running back position because you're just a little bit of everything and it's really hard. So Ray Rice was 5'8", 199, ran a 4'4", 740. And I don't like talking about Ray Rice all that much for, again, obvious reasons, but let's actually compare him. I'm doing this in real time. My apologies. I probably should have had this prepped ahead of time, but let's just compare him for a second to Marshawn Lloyd. And my apologies for the weight here, but Marshawn Lloyd, if you sort of compare, again, Ray Rice, 5'8". If you look at Marshawn Lloyd, 5'8", a little bit taller. So just barely like 5'8 and a half. Weight, Ray Rice is 199. Marshawn Lloyd is 220. Ray Rice ran a 4.47. Marshawn Lloyd ran a 4.46. And I'm not saying, again, they're exact apples to apples. Lloyd was actually more explosive in the vertical. Ray Rice did a little bit better on the broad jump. And then Rice actually did the agility testing, which he crushed, and Lloyd didn't do it, which I'm not sure he would have done quite as well on. But I've always said, like, you get that shorter stature, you get that compact build. And you look at Lloyd, 220. He's carrying an additional 21 pounds from Ray Rice, and he's still running the same, in fact, a faster 4.440. That's pretty incredible. And that's the type of thing that you see is, again, that compact build, that speed, the agility. I do think with Marshawn Lloyd, these are some of my notes coming right from my scouting report, again, prior to the draft. He's a little bit too east-west at times, but he's extremely shifty. He has great cutback ability. 8 fumbles. That's a lot of fumbles on a very small sample size of actual college carries. Now, there's a pro-con there. On the plus side, he has very minimal wear and tear for a running back that has this level of upside. That does not happen. We talk about all the time, or we did with Aaron Jones, of how Green Bay was able to extend his career because they never really gave him that full workload. These running backs in college a lot of times come with a lot of wear and tear already from the college game. And as you expand and games are going, you're having more games in the season and things like that, the wear and tear on some of these running backs can be incredible. You know, with Marshawn Lloyd, he barely played at times. This past season, as Dane Brugler pointed out, he had more single carry games than double carry games, meaning he had more carries of like 8, 9, 7 in a game than 10, 11, 12 or more. He was just a rotational back in college, and that's what he's going to ultimately come and be in Green Bay. But you get this really impressive change of pace. He averaged over 7 yards per carry in college football a season ago. You know, he really got to show off, I think, his explosive ability. The fumbles is an issue, right? 8 fumbles, that's a lot on a minimal sort of workload. Hey, friends, are you ready for the Bucks playoffs? Are you ready for a little Dame time? Even if you're not, you're probably ready for the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, or any of your favorite baseball teams kicking off their 2024 campaign. With all of this amazing action going on, there's never been a better time to get in on the excitement of Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your sports knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball entries on Prize Picks. Friends, I can't even begin to explain to you how much I'm enjoying my Prize Picks experience. It's so easy to play, and their user-friendly interface and enormous, and I mean enormous, selection of players and stat types make it a beautifully unique experience every single time I log in. Last week, LeBron James came up huge for me, and this week I'm looking to keep the momentum going, relying on Luka Doncic and Connor McDavid. And guess what? Even if Doncic or McDavid get hurt, Prize Picks offers injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. So what are you waiting for? Now is the time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks. So download that app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Hello, friends. If you're like me, you've been in numerous ticket situations that were just flat out frustrating. Recently, I had tickets to a Bucks game and I could not locate the tickets that were allegedly sent to me. It ended up in a huge hassle and led to me being completely frustrated by the entire experience. Ticket purchases should not be that difficult, and thankfully, they don't have to be. GameTime is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. With killer last-minute deals and their lowest price guarantee, GameTime takes the guesswork out of buying tickets. I'm already eyeing up Bucks playoff tickets, and I know I'll be purchasing them through GameTime. My experience with GameTime has been simple, seamless, and completely without hassle. No more frustration, no more awful last-minute customer service phone calls, just easy access to great tickets. My favorite aspect of GameTime is their last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off by buying last-minute tickets, and save even more with exclusive in-app deals on select seats ahead of the big game. And best of all, it's all covered with their low price guarantee. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's something, as Brian Gutekunst said in his press conference after that, is going to have to get corrected. They believe they can correct it, but that's one of those things that's just a deal breaker, right? If he can't fix his fumbling issues, he can't get on the field. So that's going to be one big thing that he really has to clean up. Pass pro is another. It's great that you want Lloyd to be maybe a little bit more of your change of pace guy, but if you want him to be on the field on some of those passing downs and, again, be a little bit more of that playmaker, one, he's going to have to show a little bit more as a pass catcher, something he didn't get asked to do a ton. And two, he's going to have to learn how to pass pro better. So there's a lot to like about Marshawn Lloyd and how he runs the ball, the fact that he has limited wear and tear. Did have a torn ACL previously, so this is the second Packer in this draft that has had a torn ACL. Again, this is happening more and more with athletes as they go through all the rigorous things that you need to do to become an NFL player. These things just happen, unfortunately, but it's another thing that he's had to overcome in his career. But this is going to be somebody that's going to come in and, in my opinion, be running back two for Green Bay right away. That's not a disrespect to AJ Dillon. I just think you have somebody that's far more dynamic. Now, there's a really great chance that AJ Dillon still has a very good role on this team, assuming he makes the team. We'll see what Green Bay does at running back on day three. We'll see what Emmanuel Wilson brings to the table this upcoming season. Dillon's not guaranteed a spot, depending on, again, what they do on the roster, but there's a really good chance that AJ Dillon makes the roster. And if so, that third down role, Josh Jacobs can do a little bit of that, but AJ Dillon's pass pro ability is so important in that type of role. And again, I think Josh Jacobs will be there too, but that's not what Marshawn Lloyd's going to bring to the table. But this brings you a different flavor of running back than what you had on the roster. And again, a guy that averaged 7 yards per carry. Lloyd's not, you know, he's small from a height standpoint, but he's not small from a 220 pound standpoint. This is not your complete scat back shifty. We're not talking about Bucky Irvin here. We're not talking about Blake Corum here. We're talking about somebody that has the build to maintain and withstand the rigors of an NFL season and a heavier workload if you need him to. But he does have some of that dynamic game-breaking ability that he is going to bring to the table that, quite frankly, when Aaron Jones was out, they did not have on offense. They desperately needed to address this offseason, to have somebody that, because for all the things that AJ Dillon does do well, game-breaking speed and playmaking and runs of 20-plus yards and just in general playmaking is not something that he did well, especially this past season. And you have to have that ability. And we saw, quite frankly, how different the offense was with Aaron Jones and without Aaron Jones. And the hope is that Josh Jacobs is going to be able to survive the rigors of the season a little bit better, and that you're going to be able to utilize him all throughout the year and you don't have as many injury concerns as maybe you would have with Aaron Jones. That will remain to be seen. But now if you do get into a situation where Jacobs, you know, does go out for a little while or misses a few games, you have someone in Marshawn Lloyd that still has that ability to be a little bit of a home run threat, to have that change of pace, and to be a playmaker within the offense. And that was something, like I said, I thought they had to address. They did it. Now, whether or not you're thinking, you know, it's great, I really liked him, but what about a Jalen Wright? I get that. I really like Jalen Wright, and Jalen Wright's got that 4.340 speed. But I just put it this way. Jalen Wright came from an offense that I don't think we got a really great feel for, you know, what he's going to be able to do in the NFL. I think Lloyd is going to be a little bit more of like what he did in college he's going to be able to do in the NFL. It's a little bit more copy and paste. I also think that that, you know, 220 pounds is going to be something that is really going to be, you know, super advantageous for Marshawn Lloyd as he sort of, you know, makes his way to the NFL. Just looking back at Jalen Wright really quick here, trying to remember exactly what his weight was. And again, sorry for the weight here, no pun intended. He obviously had a ridiculous relative athletic score. He's 210, so he's not on the short side. The light side, but 4.38 40. I would have had no problem if they took Jalen Wright at that spot. And if you want to make the argument that, hey, Jalen Wright would have been better, well, we'll see. We'll ultimately be able to find out which one is, but I have no issue whatsoever with Green Bay going Marshawn Lloyd. Daniel Jeremiah had him as their, you know, his number one running back in the entire draft. And I do think you get a more well-rounded player in Lloyd. Some of the, again, the pass catching will remain to be seen. The fumble issue is going to have to get cleaned up. Didn't do a ton on special teams, but this is a type of running back that fits Green Bay well. And last thing I'll say here about Lloyd before we go to Hopper, Brian Gutekunst has said they want running backs that are going to be durable and physical in December and January and February, right? This is a player that, despite his shorter stature, because of that compact build and compact frame, is going to be that. So he can be the change of pace guy, but he can also be the physical guy because of how he is built. I think you get the best of all worlds. Goody felt pretty comfortable that he's going to be able to catch the ball well out of the backfield. Goody felt comfortable that they're going to be able to get that fumbling issue cleaned up. Pass protection is going to be a work in progress, as it is for most rookie running backs. But those are the things that he's going to have to master in order to make sure he actually gets on the field. Because if he can't pass pro, if he struggles to catch the football, and, you know, obviously if he fumbles, those are going to be things that just keep him off the field. And those are things that can derail a running back's career. So there will be a little bit of a hurdle there. But if he can get over those and fix those things, you get an extremely well-rounded running back that, like I said, has that little bit of that cheat code mentality where they're smaller. It's tough to find them, you know, under a bunch of 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", offensive linemen. If you're a linebacker and you're trying to see through, you've got a 5'7", 5'8 guy, or in this case, 5'8 guy, that's tougher to identify. but he's also shifty, 4.440 speed, and you bounce off of him because he has that dynamic compact build. Really, really like this pick for Green Bay, and I think he should pay dividends right away this season, which is really a theme for Green Bay on day two. And then let's go to Hopper, the linebacker, obviously. This is another really interesting pick for Green Bay. Tyron Hopper, linebacker out of Missouri, 6'1", 231 pounds, had a 7.42 relative athletic score, although with Hopper, the RAS scores have him at a 4.68 40. Goody mentioned they had him in the 4.5s, the high 4.5s. So that would change that a little bit, probably put it a little bit higher. Agility scores were not good. 4.46 in the short shuttle, 7.29 in the three cone. Those are pretty low. 231 pounds is pretty low for a linebacker, but not necessarily for Green Bay's type of linebacker. He was 159 on the consensus draft board. He only had a 51.5 grade from PFF, which 60 is average, on 562 snaps this past year. 468 career special team snaps. More on that in just a moment. To me, he is best as a blitzer and as a quarterback spy. When you get him having to be a bit more instinctual, when you get him having to drop back in coverage a little bit more, you see some of the gaps in his game. But as a blitzing, attacking linebacker, he is not afraid to take on blocks. He will be a little bit more that physical guy. For those that have been saying like, hey, it'd be nice to have somebody that's willing to take on some blocks and be a bit more physical, Tyron Hopper has some of that to his game, and he's willing to do that. Poor instincts in both pass and run defense. I think those instincts are going to have to get cleaned up a little bit, and which is a tough thing to do. Those are usually natural, but maybe the game slows down for him at some point. His college coaches did make mention that the game was starting to slow down and that he was a player that was really taking on a different side of things per Dane Brugler this past season, and that he really like sort of dedicated himself to his craft a little bit more. Poor change of direction and the agility drills sort of spell that out as well. He's extremely impressive in pursuit with speed to track down from behind. Another team captain. And again, we had Joey on from Underage Packers. I know he's now with Packers Central with Bill Huber. He came out, he's also with Missouri Central and covers the Missouri Tigers. He had glowing things to say about the person and the personality. This is going to be another locker room guy that fits in incredibly well. And again, what that means is a lot of those guys work extremely hard. They're leaders and they take this very seriously. And it just gives you usually more opportunity to reach your ceiling as a player, which with all the traits that he does possess is still very, very high for Tyron Hopper. Tackling has been a bit of an issue. You'd like to see him wrap up a little bit more. He does not look natural in man coverage. I thought he was more of like a fifth, sixth, seventh round guy, more than like an end of the third round guy. Did feel like a little bit of a reach here, but two things I want to talk about here with Hopper. Number one, special teams, 468 career special team snaps. This is a player that theoretically should come in and be able to help Rich Bisaccia's special teams from day one. Rich Bisaccia, outside of getting Keyshawn Nixon back and getting Greg Joseph as a competition piece at kicker, has not been thrown very many bones this offseason. You know, Rudy Ford is gone. Dallin Leavitt, they cut midway through last season. They did get Eric Wilson back, but it's not like they've added anything to the roster from a special team standpoint. To me, getting a Hopper in the third round here is somebody who is immediately going to be a big-time core special team player. And that may not mean anything to you when it comes to a third round pick, but as we change these kickoff rules and kick returns are going to happen all the time, having somebody like a Tyron Hopper on your team who is, you know, straight line speed from point A to point B and is fearless, willing to take on blocks, he is going to have a lot of value as a coverage guy on those kick return or kickoff units. That's super valuable. The other thing is, notice who they took at linebacker on day two, Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper, fast attacking linebackers. You want to know or have a tell on how Jeff Hafley wants to use his linebackers? You get a little bit of that from Tyron Hopper and from Edgerrin Cooper. These are fast downhill attacking linebackers all day, every day. Do they fit as well in Joe Barry's defense where everything is backing up and then attacking? Cooper probably still, he's just a good enough player, but Hopper maybe not. But if they plan on using these as a lot of double A-gap blitzes, taking on guys as run blitzers and being more physical and attacking with these linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper and Tyron Hopper are extremely physical, attacking, downhill, explosive linebackers. That to me tells you that that's what they're looking for at that position. And that should be exciting. So again, is he maybe a little bit of a reach here? Maybe. Is he somebody that is maybe going to have to earn his spot a little bit more, not from a roster spot standpoint, but actually getting on the field? I don't know that there's this easy day one linebacker spot open. I said before the draft, this was my scouting report on him. I said, if they didn't draft anyone else, I thought he would actually compete for that number two spot with Isaiah McDuffie and at worst be their number three linebacker. Now he's probably competing for that number three spot with McDuffie and at worst being their number four. This is a much needed depth piece who's going to be a core special teamer from day one and I think is an immediate player on your 4-3 defense. I mean, I think this could be legitimately Quay, Cooper, and Hopper. I think that could be your 4-3. We'll see what happens with McDuffie, but those two guys will compete. And if nothing else, you get, like I said, a much needed depth piece that probably has a rotational role, that's a core special teamer, and that I think is going to fit very well within Jeff Hafley's defense. So really, really love the Marshawn Lloyd pick. The Hopper one, I think, is going to be more interesting to keep an eye on. I will say of almost anyone in this draft, I'm almost most excited to go back and watch a little bit more of Tyron Hopper's tape just to kind of get a better feel for who he is as a linebacker. I do really like his attacking mentality, but we'll have a full breakdown of him. Obviously, as time goes on, we're going to break down every single one of these picks. I'll do a day two recap tomorrow morning that'll be out. That'll go into these players in a little bit more detail. So excited to go through that with you. But this is my gut reaction. Like the Tyron Hopper pick as a core special teamer, depth pieces linebacker. I do think a Cedric Gray out there would have been a much better pick. Peyton Wilson's injury issues cloud everything there. But Cedric Gray is a really, really good linebacker. Probably would have preferred that. At running back, Marshawn Lloyd, again, do you want to compare the Jalen Wrights and say, hey, I would have maybe preferred him? Okay, I certainly get it, but I really like the Marshawn Lloyd pick and have no qualms with that whatsoever. Two fun players that I think Goody added on day two. Add that to Edgerrin Cooper at linebacker and then Javon Bullard at safety. Green Bay improved their roster in a pretty significant way, specifically on the defensive side of the ball with a safety and two new linebackers. You get the running back. They hit all their needs. I'll end with that. This is a team that needed offensive line. They got it day one. They needed a starting safety. They got it day two. They needed a starting linebacker. They needed depth at linebacker. They got it day two. They needed a running back that could be the change of pace guy and be somebody with a little bit more dynamic playmaking ability. They got it on day two. They hit every single one of their core needs. Do they need more offensive linemen? Yes. Could they use another safety? Yes. There's some other things you'd like to, sort of fill in? Of course. But Goody still has a lot of ammunition on day three, and it should make for a very fun day three as well. That's going to do it for me to now. I'll see you guys tomorrow morning with a breakdown of everything that happened on day two. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.